our scripture reading this morning, I think I warned some of you last night that there might be some bumbles on my part. And this is one of those bumbles because I told Stacy that it was Luke 5, 1 through 21, but it's really only 1 through 11. So we're going to stop about halfway through. So you can read the rest if you want, but I'm not going to read it. So this is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and this is a story of Jesus calling some of the very first disciples. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let out your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Now, I have been doing a lot of thinking about Christ our anchor. I have been wondering about the stories behind the names and faces. I got a directory, so I recognized some of you even on the last couple of nights. I've wondered who I will cry with, who I will share glasses of wine with and laugh, who will be the first to challenge me and grow me in my own faith. And all of our time together that lies ahead has been on my mind all day, every day, for months now. But I've also been thinking about just your name. My very first impression of your church when I saw your MIF was your name, Christ our Anchor. And that's why I chose this gospel passage this morning, this simple story. As you might know, an ancient symbol of the Christian church is a boat. This is an image that has always touched my heart for several reasons. One reason is simply that I love the message that we are all in this together. That's what we mean when we say we're all in the same boat. It's become a cultural phrase, but some of it, I think, comes from this symbol. We're all in the same boat. And secondly, the reason it touches me is sort of related because sometimes I wonder, what is it that we're all in together? What is this human journey? Where is it that we have to be on this journey together? I think that this symbol tells us a little something about that, because when I say we're all in the same boat, I do not mean a luxurious cruise ship or a yacht. I do not mean a Viking ship where everyone is a professional sailor with muscles out to here. When I imagine the church as a boat, I imagine something like this print that my husband had when I first met him. It was by a Japanese artist, and it was called The Great Wave. I can try to paint this picture for you, that it's a ship. Some of you might have seen it. It's a ship with little heads. You can't totally see the faces, but it's a full boat, and it's going into a wave that is huge and about to crash right on them. That's the image I have of the church as a boat, because it's an image of cooperation, maybe some struggle, some fear, and even the thrill of being human, rowing straight on into a coming wave. That's a courageous image. Now, don't think I'm a pessimist because of that wave. Life has times of smooth sailing, and life has times of rough waters. It has both. But for me, all it takes is 1 week watching the news, and I remember, man, life is such a challenge for so many people. And that's when this image really hits home for me, of the church as a boat. What do most people have to help them navigate the chaos of rough waters like that? What do they have to hang on to? What grounds them, what grounds us when we feel lost at sea in our own lives? Now, of course, the answer to that question for Christians, the first answer is we have God. But We're also lucky when we're part of churches like this that we have not just our Creator God who keeps us afloat, but we have each other. We have the gift of fellow travelers and passengers along the way. Hopefully people who will admit, man, this is really scary. That wave looks really big. Let's hold hands and get into this together. We have the gift of that with each other. And think about it. Everything that we have learned in all these centuries, Christians, about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, everything that we've learned comes from fellow human beings, from their work, from their journeys. They wrote the scriptures, they told their stories, they live lives that follow Jesus, and they help us to see God at work in the world. Fellow human beings help us see God better. So that's what Jesus meant when he said that we would be fishers of people. Even my own husband, Jason, without knowing the topic of the sermon this week, he asked me earlier in the week, so what's your hook? When he was asking what my sermon's about, what's your hook? And I laughed because I love a good pun. And he meant, what is going to catch people? What's going to make them curious to know more? Because in life and in faith, we get hooked by the world or we get hooked by God's story. We're always getting hooked into something. And other people can help us determine which one of those things catches us and carries us along. I know that for me, it was definitely human beings that brought me to faith, that helped me see that God was in my life. I was raised completely secular, with amazing values and compassion, but with no faith, as many of you had read or know from talking to me. But the insecurity and the emotions of being a teenager brought me to a wonderful youth group, and it was there that I felt heard, I felt accepted with all of my quirks, and I felt built up. People told me that I was a leader and that I had gifts, and all of that happened before I was ever pushed into accepting any kind of belief system. I heard older youth leaders who I looked up to telling stories about really tough times that they had gone through, things that sounded way tougher than anything I had ever gone through yet, and how they said that God and the life of faith was the turning point for them, and that made an impact on me. Over time, their work opened me up to God's work in my heart. So now here I am. It's a crazy journey. And you all can probably think of people along your way who have brought you to faith, or who maybe kept you connected to faith, even when your instinct might have been to flee. It's my hope that tomorrow I will officially begin as your new pastor, and that would be such a huge honor for me. However, as I see it, we would all be beginning a new calling. It would be a new stage in my life and my family's life, but also a new stage in the life of this church. And this gospel story, I believe, has a great message for this new chapter. We are all called to, number one, let down our nets, and number two, get out into that deeper water. So let's think together about these. That first one, letting down the nets. Jesus asked these ordinary guys who were not even disciples yet, just fishermen, to let down their nets as in to try again for another catch. And this was after they'd been fishing all night long. They were exhausted, frustrated, and probably feeling pretty down on themselves. Asking them to try again would have been like pouring salt in the wound. So they were hesitant, but they still tried. Faithfulness is still faithfulness, even if it comes mixed with doubts and some misgivings. Now, as I think about the first disciples that I met here at Christ Our Anchor, I think of the PNC. And if I had to come up with just one word to describe them, the first would be dedicated. But a close second would be tired. They worked so hard to make this connection happen, and it was not without a lot of trial and error and learning along the way. It's the same with all of us. We all have things, whether it's our busy jobs, raising young kids or teenagers, working through a rough patch in our marriages, anything like that. We all have things where it is tempting to just stop and just want to put our head down and take a nap because we are tired. We have been trying. We might need a break. And God calls us to take breaks. Jesus himself took breaks. But God also calls us to keep at it together. He said that for us to keep letting down the nets, even if the results are slow to come, is our way of being faithful. Pastor Allison, as I heard, got you all excited again to let down the nets. And together, hopefully, we can keep at it. I don't know what hopes you have for your new pastor. I'm excited to learn more from each one of you, more specifically what you hope. But I do know that this church wants to grow. It wants to reach the Broadneck Peninsula. It wants to draw more families and more young people. It wants to be a bright spot in the community where people can look at this church and feel hope. And I believe these things are possible with all my heart. But I also believe that along with some great catches and some victories where the nets will be full, there will also be times where maybe we'll try some things and our nets will come up empty. And we have to keep trying because we're in it together. We're all in the same boat. And then there's this other call, or really this invitation, to go out into the deeper water. Deeper water is where I have to go, where you as an individual have to go, and where we all together have to go to get what God has for us. God calls us deeper into the beautiful struggle of our relationships, into the exhausting glory of parenthood, deeper into the countercultural call of hope when the world seems really hopeless, where the world says we should be living to succeed and just get what we want while we can. We are called into those deeper waters, and Jesus knows that we are tired or burnt out or maybe have lost heart, but Jesus doesn't let us get away with staying tied up at the shore. He calls us to see life differently and to do what maybe we think we can't do. In order to get someplace new, we have to be willing to untie and get out there into the deeper water. It is our prayer that the future journey of Christ Our Anchor would lead to growth. The church's journey, however, begins with each one of ours. I really believe in the power of individual story, and if we want to be able to catch people with God's love, Jesus knew we have to first be caught by God. He had to first catch Peter and James and John. So too with us, unless we are continually touched personally by the story of God in our lives, the story of God in Scripture, we won't be able to reach out to other people. That very first step is to be caught ourselves by God, by what God is doing. We're about to enter Lent, and this is a time for us to re-immerse ourselves in the story of God and how God reached out to us in Jesus. It's a chance for us to examine the patterns of our lives and to renew whatever might feel stale or sour or just plain stuck. And I really look forward to walking that road with you and maybe discovering some new places together, because I need renewal too. We each individually need to be recaught by God. But in closing, I want to remind you and myself that that image from earlier that I shared, that image of the boat sailing right into a crashing wave, it's actually incomplete, because Pastor Allison read a book with your session called Sailboat Church, which had a really important lesson for us. It said keeping a church and a community afloat, it's hard work, and more often than not, it takes everyone on deck, everyone working. But ultimately, none of our future is about our efforts. It's not about us trying so hard. All of us, myself included, rely entirely upon God to call us to this time and this place. We rely on God's Holy Spirit to be the wind that pushes us forward. It's not just our frantic rowing. God's Spirit is the wind that pushes us where we need to go. But we cannot hold on to the shorelines. We know that the shorelines are not our anchor. This church probably knows better than many. It is Christ who anchors us as we journey out to the deep water, as we let down our nets and ready ourselves for the next catch. Amen.